for they are white already to harvest. The phrase, the four-word phrase that Jesus made was, I say unto you. It is found in the book of Matthew 52 times, in the book of Mark 13 times, in the book of Luke 30 times, and in the book of John 21 times, for a total of 116 times that it was recorded that Jesus said, I say unto you. There's a reason for that. Because when Jesus came, he came to change the narrative and to control the narrative. Amen. He challenged the narrative on many subjects of the day because he understood that ever since the Garden of Eden, when the devil took control of the narrative in the garden, and by doing so deceived Eve, and she ate of the fruit, and Adam likewise, and they were cast out of the garden, the devil understood from the beginning that whoever controls the narrative will control the outcome. And from that point on, there has been an effort by hell to control the narrative of the lives of men. However, when Jesus came, he came saying, it has been said of old, and you say it on this wise, but I say unto you. Because what God wants us to understand is that heaven's narrative is the narrative that every single one of us ought to be buying into tonight. I refuse the negative narrative of this world. I refuse the narrative of unbelief. I refuse the narrative of doubt. I refuse the narrative of faithlessness. Come on. Give me a narrative of revival. Give me a narrative of the glory. Talk to me about the power. Talk to me about what my God can do. Come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. So what Jesus is saying in John 4:35 is that oftentimes we create a narrative because we believe it can only happen at some point in the future. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He is saying, you are saying, your narrative is that it can only happen at some distant point in the future. But when Jesus came, he said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. You don't have to wait till later. He's saying, there is no need to put it off. The harvest is now. The miracle is now. The blessing is now. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I refuse to get caught in the trap that says it cannot happen now. I refuse to get caught in the trap that says we can't see it today. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, but we've had all these problems, and we've had all of these lockdowns, and we've had it where we've been shut down and locked in. But God has said, that's the narrative of the world. Their narrative is to shut you down and to quiet your voice. But we have found other ways that we can stand up and say, oh, no, whether it's COVID or no COVID, we're having revival. Whether it's a lockdown or no lockdown, we're seeing a move of God. The preacher in Proverbs said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you're talking death, you're going to have death. But if your narrative is life, you're going to have life. If you have a narrative of saying, I'm going to have a breakthrough. I'm going to see what God can do. I'm not giving my family up to hell. I'm not going to give my marriage up to hell. I'm not, oh glory to God. Devil, you're not stealing my victory. You're not taking my dance. You're not taking my worship. My mind is made up. I am going to have what God wants to give to me. Somebody shout amen. Praise the Lord. If all you're ever talking about is negative things, if all you're doing is complaining, if the only thing you can do is say it can't happen, it's not going to happen. I tried this. I tried that. I tried the other. You need to be like Mr. Edison, that when they ask him the question, how do you explain that you tried 10,000 different ways to have and to build an incandescent bulb? He said, man, my response to that is this. I found 10,000 ways it wouldn't work, but I didn't stop believing that somehow I was going to see the dream and my vision for an incandescent bulb come to a reality. I don't care how many times you've come to church and you've not seen it happen. I don't care how many times you walked in that door and it has not been a reality. Come back. Do it again. Shout again. Praise again. Worship again. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. We got to make up our mind that we're not going to create a narrative in our life that's going to produce death in our life. But we're going to create a narrative that produces life. I'm going to talk life. I said, I'm going to talk life. Am I happy about stuff going on in our world? No, I'm not happy. Am I happy about the system and the things that are taking place in our country? No, but I refuse to let that control my attitude. I refuse to let it control my spirit. Come on now. I refuse to let it control what comes out of my mouth. I'm making my mind up. I got a narrative of joy. I've got a narrative of peace. I've got a narrative of righteousness. I got a narrative of good. Come on. I'm going to speak life into this world. Amen. 2 Kings 4 talks to us about a Shunammite woman that the Lord, that God had done a great work for, a barren woman that the Lord, by the mouth of the prophet, had given a promise, and she would have a child. And it was so. The child was now somewhere 10, 12 years old. He's out in the field with his father, and he somehow, whether it was a sunstroke or whatever it was, he grasped his brow. He fell to the ground. And his father said, take him home to his mother. And whenever she got this child in her hand, she took this child and she put him on the bed of the prophet, the preacher's, the room that she had built for the prophet of God, the place that she had made, the provision that she had established. She took that dead child and she laid him on the bed. And then she went outside and she said, saddle me a donkey. I'm going to find the preacher. And they said, whither shall you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. What they were saying to her is, I know you're hurting. I know you're grieving. I know you're heart's broken. I know you're moving in desperation, but it's not the right time. It's not the new moon, and neither is it the Sabbath. And she looked at them and said, it'll be all right. I'm not letting you control my narrative. Hallelujah. Saddle that donkey for me, because the same God that gave me that child can give me that child back again. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You need to quit letting other people talk you out of your blessing. Quit letting everything else talk you out of what God wants to do for you in your life. Don't let somebody else control your narrative. She could have said, oh, you know what? You're right. It's not the Sabbath. That's the day we're supposed to go. And it's not even the new moon. It's not that time of the month that we're supposed to go and offer sacrifice or meet with the prophet of God. She could have stepped back and said, you know, you're right about that. But she wouldn't let nobody control her spirit. She wouldn't let anybody control her faith. She said, it might not be the right time for everybody else, but it's the right time for me for a miracle. It's the right time. Oh, hallelujah. I feel something in the Holy Ghost that's in this house here tonight. I've come to tell somebody that you have controlled, you have developed your own narrative, or you've let other people control your narrative. It's time for you to stand up and take back control. It's time for you to stand up and say, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter the impossibility. It doesn't look. Amen. So it was the evening time in Matthew 14 and 15. And the disciples came to Jesus saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give you them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm telling you, friend, that what you're looking at right here is Jesus is saying, give the multitude something to eat. But the disciples are saying, it's the wrong place and it's the wrong time. It's a desert place, amen, and it's the evening time. It's a time when we ought to be packing our bags. It's a time when we ought to be making preparation to go home. It's the sun is going down. It's about to get dark. The day is almost done. It's almost over with. But Jesus said, oh no, it might be the evening time. It might be the last day, but it's time to feed the multitude. It's time to provide for them. At the dawning of Pentecost, when the sun rose on the day of Pentecost, amen, they had 3,000 that received the gift of the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. A few days later, we read that 5,000 had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a few days after that, it said a great multitude believed. They got the Holy Ghost and they were baptized in Jesus' name. They were getting the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem. They were getting it in Samaria. They were getting it in Judea. They were getting it at Caesarea, the uttermost parts of the earth. At the dawning of Pentecost, when the sun came up, I've come to tell New Life that the sun is setting on Pentecost. The sun is setting on the church. But Jesus in this miracle is telling us that I can do the work, amen, just as great at the setting of the sun that I did at the rising of the sun. Come on, come on. God didn't give you this building to let it sit half empty. God gave you these pews for souls to sit on these pews. God gave you this building to fill it up. I said to fill it up. What's your narrative? What are you talking today? Are you talking we'll get by? Or are you saying, oh no, I'm not going to be happy until every pew is full, until there's no more room? Amen. I fear that there are those in our world that are taking the position that it's a desert place, it's a dry place, it's an unproductive time, and it is actually past. past time. We're not going to see it happen anymore. I feel something so strong in the Holy Ghost here tonight. Pastor, I believe what you said this morning when you said that there's people here that's never been a part of a 100 soul revival, but they need to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Well, it just so happened that there were some disciples who had never seen Jesus feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but they wrote about it. They saw it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody in the house, when Pastor said that this morning, we ought to have been on our feet shouting, yes! That's the narrative of this church right now. 100 souls. 100 souls. 100 souls. Come on, clap your hands. Shout unto the Lord. Shout unto God. Shout unto God. My Lord, I feel like somebody ought to run the aisle right now. I feel like somebody ought to get excited. Somebody ought to say, I'm not going to let hell control my narrative. I'm not going to let hell control. Amen. Sometimes we are guilty of creating our own narrative based on our circumstances. But let me remind you, don't judge the word of God on your circumstance. Don't judge God on your circumstance. We're guilty of creating a false narrative, or we're allowing others to create a false narrative in our life. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the worst violator of this is hell. Hell is the worst violator of creating a narrative and controlling that narrative. Jesus said this about the devil in John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come. You see, the thief, that's what his job is. He's going to come to steal. He's going to come to kill. That is the agenda of hell. Hell's agenda for your life is to steal from you. Hell's agenda is impossible to kill you or to kill your praise, to kill your worship. In fact, hell's not even happy with that. Hell's desire and his agenda is to literally destroy your life. Amen. That's what hell's agenda is. The agenda of hell is to shut down your revival. The agenda of hell is to lock down your ministry. Hell's agenda is to resist you at every turn. It's to stifle your worship services. Hell's agenda is to paralyze your ability to reach your city. Hell's agenda is to shut down your praise. I'm going to stop just right there for a moment. When you come to church and all of a sudden there's a voice whispering in your ear, you don't have a right to praise the Lord. You don't have a right to lift your hands. You don't have a right to say hallelujah. He's trying to steal your praise from you. What he's trying to convince you of is that your praise is based on how good you are. But that's not what your Bible tells you. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him according to his mighty acts. Praise him. Come on. We don't praise him because we're good. We praise him because he's good. Amen. Hell's agenda is to break up your marriage. Hell's agenda is to destroy your home. Hell's agenda is to wipe out your faith and to cause you to backslide. And the only way that hell can accomplish its agenda is to control the narrative of your life. And my mandate tonight in the Holy Ghost is to tell you, the church, that it's time to change the narrative. It's time. It's time. Come on. It's time to take control. Take back. I said take it back. He'll use anything and anybody to control the narrative. He'll use your family. He'll use your friends. that hell will use your co-workers. Hell will use backsliders. He'll use anyone to control the narrative. I'm convinced more than ever that if we can get the church at large to stop listening to hell and start listening to the pulpit, the potential to change the outcome will increase exponentially. You'll change your outcome if you'll start listening to heaven's narrative. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. I promise you, I'm not going to get on a soapbox tonight, but I'm going to tell you that the reason why we have the level of fear in America right now is because the media has driven a narrative. The politics has driven a narrative. Come on now. Amen. You may not agree with what I'm saying, but I'm telling you right now that the fear level, the anxiety level, I travel every week. I'm through airports all over this country. I see every such kind of a situation. I see anger. I see people, amen, with such anxiety and such fear. And I think, my God, what are we doing? What is happening in our world? And I realize that there is a controlling of the narrative. Well, I got news for you tonight. I refuse to live my life in fear. I refuse to live my life full of anxiety. Somebody said, but what if you die? A short way to glory. I said, a short way to glory. When you come to church, you need to listen to heaven's narrative. When the preacher preaches, you're hearing God's narrative. Amen. I said, when the preacher's preaching, you're hearing what God wants you to be talking about. This is a faith narrative. Amen. I read something recently that caught my attention and likewise also troubled me. It made this statement. It said that people around the world spend an average of 7.5 hours per day with media. Whether that be with social media, whatever kind of media it is, news media, that they spend on average 7.5 hours a day. You multiply that times 7, and that's over 50 hours a week that they're lending their ear to a negative, false narrative. Amen. Can I tell you that the preacher only has your ear 3 hours a week? Let me tell you, friend, if there's anybody you ought to be listening to, it's your man of God. If anybody you ought to be paying attention to, it's the pastor of your life, the shepherd of your soul. I wish you'd clap your hands and shout hallelujah right now. I think it's time for somebody in this house to take back the narrative of your life. You need to set the leadership of hell in disarray, because all of a sudden his agenda for you is in peril. His agenda for you is in doubt, because you're not talking like you used to talk. You're not talking the way you once talked. You're walking out of here tonight saying, I can. With the help of God, I can make it. Can I tell you tonight that when hell says everything is against you, you need to say, if God be for me, then who can be against me? Hallelujah. When you are face down in the mud and the devil says, let's see you get out of this one, you need to say, rejoice not against me, oh my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise, and when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. When the devil tells you that he's got a weapon and that you'll never overcome that weapon, you need to say, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I'm going to condemn. This is my heritage, and this, oh hallelujah, this is my heritage. I got a heritage of being victorious. Amen. When hell says you don't have what it takes, you need to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When hell says you're going to be defeated, you need to say, by my God, I will run through a troop, and by my God, I will leap over a wall. When the devil tells you you don't have a reason to praise, you need to say, I got breath, don't I? Amen. I'm still breathing, don't I? Amen. I still got life in my body. And so while I live, will I praise the Lord? While I live, I will praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The devil's been talking to some folks around here. And the sad thing is you bought into his narrative. You bought into what he's saying. I could preach more tonight, but I'm going to draw this thing to a close. I'm going to start landing this. There's more I could talk about. Amen. I could talk about how that one man once said that we will never, ever solve the problems that we have by the same method that we made those problems. Amen. We got to change. We got to change our methodology. We got to change how we're talking tonight. We got to start talking revival. We got to talk the move of the Holy Ghost. You got to talk victory. You want victory? You got to talk victory. Huh? If all you ever talk about is defeat, that's all you're ever going to have. Come on, you stand up. We preachers have a favorite saying among ourselves. You get what you preach. You get what you preach. Preach faith and you get faith. Preach revival, you get revival. Preach the Holy Ghost and people start getting the Holy Ghost. Preach baptism and people start getting baptized. Preach victory, we start getting victory in the house. Preach on a breakthrough, we get a breakthrough in the house. That means that whatever the preacher's talking about, that's what we're going to have. And that's what we've got to do as a church. The church at large has got to start saying, yeah, 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 I believe it. I believe it. It may not look like the right time. The sun may be setting, but revival is still here. Yeah, 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 hallelujah. Is this the brother right here? Is this the brother right here that got baptized Friday night? Was that him? He's up there. He's been around 20 years. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Has anybody be honest enough that you've been struggling with your thought process? You've been struggling with your narrative. You kind of had a battle here lately. You had a battle with picking up one foot and putting it down. Picking up the other foot and putting it down. You had a battle when you come to church because you wanted to shout, but the devil said you didn't have a right to shout. You wanted to run, but the devil said you didn't have a right to run. You wanted to lift your hands and shout hallelujah, but the devil said you didn't have a right to lift your hands. Come on now. You want to change the outcome of your marriage? Change the narrative of your marriage. I know we're not in a marriage seminar here tonight, but you want a better marriage? Start talking about good things. Quit finding fault with one another. Quit trying, oh, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I done quit preaching and went to meddling now. But you got to quit talking about the wrong things and talk about the right things. You need to start finding reason to praise the one you're married to. Find a reason. Huh? Come on. If the only good thing that you can find about him, woman, is that he makes you pray, then you ought to praise God for that. Yeah. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. You need to walk out that door saying, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to survive this. I'm rising again. I'm getting my breakthrough. I'm not stopping. Huh? You know, I have a resistance to telling people what to do. But I'm feeling something here tonight. And I don't know. I just keep kind of tagging. I keep coming back to it. And I'm feeling something about this. Amen. I believe that God has right now endued this church with a spirit of revival. Huh? But I'm going to tell you that it won't happen without resistance. And it won't happen without the devil trying to undermine it. And I'm going to tell you tonight where it's going to start. It'll start in the home. Because when revival comes, he'll do everything he can to stir up a home. He'll do everything he can to turn wives against husbands, husbands against wives. Oh, hallelujah. Preach on, preacher. I'm going to tell you what I want to do here tonight. I want, if you will, I want husbands and wives to come down here together tonight across this front. I don't know why I feel this so strong. But if your wife is in the house, I want you to get your wife. If your husband's in the house, get your husband. I want you to come down here in the front. That's it. Come down holding hands. Ah, yeah, because you're not just going to hold hands. You're going to worship together. You're going to tell the devil. You're going to tell the devil, our home is going to be a house of praise. Our home is going to be a home of joy. Our home is going to be a place of peace. Come on, I'm challenging every marriage here tonight to come down here to the front. Amen. Are y'all single? Y'all single? Hey, we got some single folks up here. Amen. They single and looking. I said they single and looking for Jesus to come. There's some things worse than being not being married. Being married to the wrong one. Am I right about that? Alright, so you single folks gonna sing to these married folks. Amen. They're going to worship together tonight. Because you know what we're about to do? We're about to change a narrative here. We're about to take back control of the narrative. We're about to tell hell, you're not getting my house. You're not getting my marriage. You're not getting my children. You're not getting my family. Some of y'all need to start stomping on that devil. You need to start stomping on his head. You need to start telling him, I'm tired of your voice. I'm tired of your narrative. I'm tired of your narrative.
I'll praise you.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's a healing in the house. There's a healing. Speaking in tongues as a married couple. You'll change the narrative of your life. Come on, let the Holy Ghost start praying for you.
I'll praise him. I'll praise him. I'll praise him. I'll praise him.
of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, I'm blessed.
I wish somebody would mean business right now.
Yes,
I wish somebody would say, you're not getting my family. You're not getting my children. You're not going to get my marriage. We're going to have revival in the home. Revival in the marriage. Revival in the family. Revival in the church. Come on. I feel something happening right now. I feel something happening right now. Come on, sister, you can shout without your husband. Shout with your husband. Preachers, I need your help, preachers. I want you and your wife to go to these married couples and lay your hands on them tonight. Come on, preachers. Go take your wife with you. Go lay hands on these married couples. Go lay hands on these husbands and wives. Come on, preachers, I need your help right now. Pray for them. Come on, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Lay your hand on them tonight. Tell him, you're not getting our children. You're not getting our teenagers. You're not getting our families. There's a Holy Ghost breakthrough and revival. There's a Holy Ghost outpouring of revival. This church is endued with the Spirit. Something happening in the spirit. There's something happening in the spirit. Let it happen. Come on, let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. Preachers, keep praying. There's others I want you to lay hands on. Come on, there's others. There's some over here on this side. There's some on my right. I feel like being pray with them. Pray with them. Pray with them. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, the devil's a liar. You hear me? I said the devil's a liar. If the devil's talking to you, he's lying to you. He's trying to create a narrative of destruction. He's trying to create a narrative of stealing. There's something happening in the spirit right now. Let's take back the narrative. now. Let's take control tonight. Let's take control. Come on, take dominion tonight.
Lord, I will praise you.
Let's linger in this for a moment. Press on into this. Let the Holy Ghost flow forth. Let Him talk to you. Let Him stir up the gift that is within you. If you're thinking about somebody right now, pray for them. Let move in the fluid nature of the Holy Ghost right now. Let God direct your prayer. Hallelujah. 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 You don't know what to pray for? Let the Holy Ghost pray through you right now. But press into that. Press into that. That's right, that's right. Let that Holy Ghost wash over you. Wash over your home. Let that Holy Ghost flow up. Let it be like tonight, a river of living water, a well springing up into everlasting life. Come on, it's flowing out of you. You're the epicenter. You're the fountainhead for it. Ah, hallelujah. It'll flow out of this. It'll flow out into the street. It'll move on to your job before you get there tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. You just press right on in. If you're praying and you're locked into that, you just keep right on pressing in. I just want to clarify something. When I said everybody in this house needs to experience a 100-soul revival, I'm looking back to the prayer, to the time, the revival in the summer of 1974 when the wife and I prayed through. You need to experience that. But the word of prophecy that gave us this building, another word of prophecy, redundant word of prophecy that we have, is not a 100-soul revival. It's you're going to double in one revival. And I'm just, I don't want to lowball God, and I don't want to minimize the power, and I don't want to create another narrative. The prophecy has already created the narrative. You're going to double in one revival. You're going to double in one revival. You're going to, just as sure as you're standing in this building tonight, look around you, look around you. Just as sure as you're here, you're going to double in one revival. God. Just want to clarify the record. Don't want to be minimizing. If God told you something, don't lowball it. Don't get it down to the level of your rational understanding and comprehension. Just walk in it. And as you walk in it, say what God said. You don't have the slightest idea how He's going to take a sack lunch and feed 5,000 people. But just say, He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Bread and fish for everybody. You have to, you know, your voice is bigger than God's voice. Because if God says it, but you say the contrary, God's word doesn't mean anything in your life. And your voice is bigger than hell, because hell can say it. But if you say what God has said, your voice is bigger than hell. Tonight, God's given you that. God's given you that creative capacity. God's given you that spark of divinity. God's given you that capacity, made in the image of God, to step right out at the edge of chaos and speak the word of God and bring forth life, light, structure, and order, and revival, and anointing. Anybody believe that tonight? Praise God. praise God. Let's clap our hands and bless his name. Hallelujah. Neglectful this morning. We were supposed to greet Brother KJ and Sister Sabrina and Navy Jade in the house this morning. And he's so tiny. He's just a little bit of nothing in that big basket. But you can hold him up and wave him around if you like. Praise God. Oh. We are officially having revival in the nursery. Yeah. Praise God. Brother Bass, so appreciate your ministry. So appreciate you being with us. And we're going to be praying with you for revival in India and in Africa and all these places where you've got your hands. And that there'll be an open door, because it's so hard for him to get back to these areas where he's had an impact and where he's built these relationships. And it's tough for him to get in. So when you pray for him, pray that God will open the door and that God will be able to get him back in there, or some other means of discipling these people that have been baptized and that have come in. Praise God. Love one another and bless one another. We're going to be in revival again on Wednesday night and then again next Sunday. And we're expecting God to do great things. God bless you.